Hello there, this is Liam Scott. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Wasn't it the best? Wasn't it fucking awesome? Bet it changed your life. So what you're about to hear now is a collection of edits that didn't work into the narrative of the podcast. I know most people would be surprised that there was one, but I guarantee you there was definitely a narrative that I was going for. And this is just some stuff that I thought was just too funny to just be left on my computer gathering dust. So I thought, fuck it, let's crack open the beer and let's listen to a little bit more, and hopefully it's not the last. I'm gonna start with a story about myself, even though it's not meant to be a podcast about me, but both Yanni and Lee Man thought important to bring this one up, even though it's probably one of the most embarrassing stories that I can think of about myself. So for that, I say, fuck you very much, guys. But yeah, we're going to start with that one. Because if I don't put it in here, then they're going to break my balls forever about it. So here you go. It's a story of sheer embarrassment for Liam Scott. Thank you.
Back in the day, so we're still concentrating on
Roach Motel. Yeah. Were there any big fights, any big disagreements between you guys?
Nah, man, I don't think so.
No?
Nothing
springs to mind. A time when someone almost got into a fist fight with someone else.
With someone else in the band?
Yeah.
Nah, man.
With someone in another band?
Nah, man, I don't think so.
Not really those sorts of guys, are we?
Nah, me, Ben and Boyce used to fucking beat each other up in the street, but that was nothing.
Like, that was more gay.
Yeah, exactly. That was just too much boozing and whatever. Ben thinking he's in the fucking boxing ring again. You know? Me thinking I'm in a fucking wrestling ring.
Okay, that's cool. If there was one.
Closest
then.
Thing anything ever got hairy was when you fucking threw eggs out the window on New Year's Eve. How about that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a story.
Yeah, that's the.
And me hiding in a fucking
cupboard
upstairs.
Yeah, like a fucking coward, you and James Damone.
Yeah.
To weasel you out. Yeah.
I gotta say, that is probably one of the lowest points in my life.
Yeah,
is that
chucking
moment.
Eggs out of into Walls and High Road. Yeah, like, Walls and High Road, Liam. You're not fucking Richmond, you know? Ah, man. But you know what? That just puts... I fucking credit Lee Man for that, for negotiating it all. Man, nah, lads. You know, like, just talking cool, man. Keeping it fucking...
No, I look back on that with great regret, yeah, man. That's one of those moments I'm like, that was one of the stupidest fucking things. And so pussy to be hiding in the fucking cupboard. Like, hiding in under the thing. And then everyone finding me, come out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, I'm going to get stabbed in the wheelstone.
Like, to be honest, that was like the most I could ever imagine things getting close to, like, violence.
Great.
In that flat.
Man, it's me. Fucking hell.
Well, there's lots of stories about, but not. I mean, that one with the thong was quite funny. I mean. But that's just a case of having a house party, Lee Man doing too much alcohol, poppers, and all sorts. And then, I mean, that thong only went in the bin, I think, 6 months ago. So he actually had that on the last party he had at his place. And yeah, basically he caused all sorts of grief with his missus that night when he revealed his thong. I thought it was lost forever, that thong, but he managed to get it out and pretty much disgust everyone gyrating around. I still to this day don't know where he got a leather thong from and whether he actually used it throughout his early relationship with Anya. Yeah, I mean, that as a story, it's not really... it's just getting drunk and sort of being how he sort of used to be.
Tom, yeah, really friendly and welcoming, but I don't know. It's a bit weird because we were kind of drunken when we were starting to gel. But yeah, he struck me as a really nice guy. Tall and hippie-ish. Later did I find out that his dad was designing missiles to kill people. That was a shock to the system, that Tom had come from that background. It was mad. Then we went to his mansion house in Ealing. I thought, whoa, what the fuck? But yeah, really weird. There he was making walls out of cinder block, and every time I went to his room, it was a completely new design. Yeah, what a random guy.
Yeah, I wrote all that song, pretty much. I wrote it at Boyce's house, literally the day I was having an argument with Anya. Like, we had a real bad fucking argument, and I guess we was having a bad time or whatever at that time. And don't know, it's just about, you know, if I shout more than you, is it going to make it fucking true or less untrue or whatever? Do you know what I mean? No matter how much we shout at each other, the facts are the facts, you know, like whatever's happened or however you're feeling or whatever. It's just about that. And trying to think of the lyrics, what it's the fucking about. It was just a kind of argument with your missus kind of song, you know, reflective, kind of pissed off, you know, that kind of... I was just in a mood when I wrote it, and I was sitting at Boyce's house and wrote it on the guitar, on an acoustic. Yeah. I always liked the riff at the end, the din 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 din. And I was a bit frustrated on the demo that I didn't think it was tight enough, like it should have been a real good metal moment, you know, where it was all like in sync. That was like my... frustration. A lot of that was down to like the technical problems as well. We never had like a real engineer to help us record properly, you know, like that kind of shit.
Another one, man. Love you, Tom, man. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing these days, but if, as long as you're happy, man. Bit flaky, but heart is in the right place, you know. Doesn't know when to just couldn't say no. He didn't know how to say no, and he'd say yes to things that he didn't want to do.
Fucking killing it at that. At first, like, well, with the pickups, I was like, it's a great idea, but like Lee Man was like just rough shot, just rough and ready, sort of doing his videos in his like dressing gown and stuff like that. And at first I was like, I was like, it's not too professional. And boy was I a fucking fool, because what the sort of clientele he's after, like, they lap that stuff up, man. They love that shit. That nah, fuck you sort of thing. Just him bashing it out in his shed and stuff like that. They throwing pickups in fucking fires and stuff. Yeah, that's all right. Like, just getting off his head, just doing it. It's like, and so, yeah, I was like, And yeah, it totally fucking proved me wrong. And yeah, he's smashing it. And even now, he's actually investing the money that he's making it to make it a better company, which... it's like, well done, Lee. You're using your fucking noggin. It's like, that's how you do it. So, yeah, he's doing really, really well with it, actually. And I'm really, really fucking glad. So.
Oh. Yeah, it's hard to lie. I wasn't that much of a fan. Only because I love this band called Death. And I thought, oh, man, we're not doing them justice. And we're called Dead. And then Boyce is like, well, it actually stands for Disciples of Electro Acoustic Decadence. That's what he said. But yeah, only last month Yanni said, no, he just came up with that afterwards to justify it. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like I'd been living a lie.
We were quite a passive aggressive band, to be fair. A lot of things. I really wanted to say things out loud, and I just felt, for some reason, I felt some of the egos were quite fragile in the band. And probably mine, and they probably thought the same about me. But... we all kind of we were all very tepid about talking to each other about negative things. We try and put it really, because we were friends first and foremost, I guess. If we never knew each other, we'd be like, oh man, what the fuck are you doing with that bit? Like, stop it. But no, there wasn't too much because we were all still quite amatory, so we were growing together as well. I used to get frustrated with Yanni, like, not controlling his guitar sound sometimes, because at gigs it would feed back loads and, like, would sound great in rehearsals and everything would sound wicked. And then at the gig, like, for some reason, I don't know what it does to the amp, but it just goes fucking crazy and, like, it was just loads of feedback. That used to annoy me a little bit.
I did, like, oh man, that's got to be on Tom, because he came back and told us how great the house looked. Because he went and saw it and told us, yeah, you go in and is this... Because we'd been there, but it was a house party and we'd only stayed in the basement and they had Christmas lights on and everything and it was dark and it was that... So it might, like, I just knew that house looked a bit fucking, you know, different. When it's a house, we never saw the rest of it, you know, at all until we went there. And it was just all falling apart. But he told us that it was all great. And with a look of paint here and there, it'll be fine. You know, it wasn't the case. I don't know, like, it just, there was a crack pipe in the room I got. Because, like, because from having, like, the small room in Woolston, I was like, I'm getting the fucking biggest room. So I must have got the leader of the band's room, and he must have been the biggest fucking degenerate of them all. But I got that mixing desk was in that room. I inherited a lot of stuff, probably fucking hepatitis as well, but, you know, like,
shit, lifelong fuck up.
Well, okay, Yanni's simple. I could never fucking replace Yanni. I love Yanni. In fact, I had a fucking terrible nightmare, like, about a year ago, that I was speaking to Yanni on the phone. I put the phone down to him, and then, like, half an hour later, like, people came and coming up to me, and they're like, have you heard? I was like, what? And they're like, Yanni's dead. I was like, and he's not dead. I was like, I only heard from him half an hour ago. This dream went on for like a fucking hour. I woke up in a sweat. I was like, oh, good God. And I was like, well, fuck Yanni. And I went back to sleep. But, I mean, Yanni, from the band, like from DAD and for what it was and what have you, like, he has, like, broken out of it and is now sort of where he is in it. So that, like, DAD was just a launching pad for sort of where he's going now. Because you can see this is what you... Like, you can see what he wants to do and stuff. And he's improved, like, as I said before, about the theory and stuff, like, the good music theory and stuff like that with the band. Like, Lee Man was actually more sort of theory-based, I would say, in the band. And Yanni was more sort of just rocking and rolling. But Yanni has proper, like, improved every aspect. And, like, his singing, like... I wasn't sure, like, how it was going to go down when he was like, I'm going to be a singer and stuff like that. And it's like, fucking hell, man. Like, I know people were like, yeah, Kurt Cobain and stuff like that, but it fucking blew me away, to be honest. I was like, because singing is a hell of a hard thing to do, even if you are screaming and stuff. I mean, your scream can still suck, like, sound like rubbish if, like, but I think it really works. And I think with Al Gore, like, because that, it, like, it's like DAD, like, with the friends and stuff, with Al Gore and Yanni, and now they've got a really good basis as well. So hopefully that sort of progresses now, because they do have a great basis. So,
but me and Boise were laughing about it, saying this is probably just going to kick off royal beef between us all.
No, I have no interest. Even when I was in the band, I had no interest in being supposedly rock star. Don't get me wrong, I was nervous, actually, like, doing it. I'm not that sort of person. I'm like, I will be in the sort of back, sort of in the shadows, yes. So I was nervous doing it, but I after even the first gig, I enjoyed it once I was up there. Probably didn't hit a correct note during the whole thing, but it was enjoyable, and as it went on, it was more easier to get up on stage without feeling that.
Yeah, Yanni, same man, like my brother from the day, like, we wouldn't have been, you know, it was always our dream together to do it, you know. Like, we'll always know each other for the rest of our lives. We'll probably be playing guitars together when we're 50 and 60, do you know what I mean? Like, we've even been talking about it a little bit recently. Like, he texted me the other day saying, oh, we've got to do something called Bash the Bishop, like a grindcore band and stuff. So, yeah, we're always talking about doing little projects and...
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, it was the first time. The first time we had a proper conversation with Ben was probably then. Yeah, and we were always talking about music. I told him I heard Jimi Hendrix was fucking Cherokee, and he was like, "Well, I'm more Cherokee than him. He's like 1/4-5th Cherokee, you know." Yeah, he was like playing up the American thing. Yeah, I went to Cuba, you know. So yeah, it was, yeah, a lot of shit happened in that place. One of them might have defiled another member's sister. I have no idea. These are random allegations.
That's the bad thing about me and drugs, man. Like, weed anyway. It's like, I didn't... I think I had all the fun time with smoking weed when I was at uni. It's like watching Cheech and Chong and all that fucking crap. And by the time then, I think I was a good 4 or 5 years into it. I just wanted to, like... My life was pretty much go work, pick up, you know, listen to music in the dark, play guitar, you know? I really fucking... takes a lot out of you, man. I think, you know what, we're really lucky that we spent all our money rehearsing and on weed. Like, if we had enough money for coke, we'd be fucking hell, man. We'll just be the worst bunch of cunts you could ever fucking have the misfortune to meet. If you imagine any us lot with like serious coke habit, terrible, man. We'd still be on it now, man. It's like, I'm just thankful that we didn't really have, that's the good thing, that we didn't got any success looking back on it, because I don't think any of us would have handled it well. I think we'd barely handle it well if it happened now, you know? Maybe just about handle it well now, because we're all a bit older, but I think, I know for me personally, I would have just decayed. I wouldn't have been a good human being.
Tom, yeah, Tom's obviously, a good guy, man. Just always a little bit more elusive. He was harder to get under the surface and get to know. Like, loved the guy and everything, but it was just like, I always felt he had a bit of a barrier up, like, a little bit. So, I don't know if I ever got to know 100% what he was thinking, like, properly, you know.
There was a long period of time when, even when I was in rehearsals, and you could just feel that it was just like going through the motions. No, like, you're just there, like, playing and just, all right, we'll try this, and we'll try this. And you could just feel there was no real, I mean, even me, like, just no real sort of get up and go for it or atmos for it. I mean, with me, it was kind of difficult to get, like, proper pumped up for it because... A, I don't know how to, like, play the bass, and B, I can't give anything musically to these people, to these guys, because they all know what they're sort of, how they want to go into the song, and who am I, fucking a guy who's been playing bass for fucking a week and a half saying, I think we should go into this chord and then this. It's like, Yanni would have probably kicked me in the balls.
Yeah, Jason was a good dude. He was funny, wicked bass player. I know we never saw eye to eye in the band, really, at points, but give him his dues, he was fucking sick on stage.
Boise, fuck you, man. Yeah, nah, I love you too, man. Another one, man. He's my brother. All brothers, man. I'd fucking do anything for any of them guys. Like,
yeah, well, the bookies got robbed, and I know the story, and then I think it was a day later or... there's two parts of that story. The bookies got robbed, so me and Yanni went downstairs. There was all police cars, so I mean, it was Wilson High Road, so there was always something happening, but there was police sirens going off and what have you. So me and Yanni, being the curious fucks that we were, or nosy, decided to go down and have a look. So we went down, had a look, just saw loads of police cars, didn't really think anything of it. Obviously something was going down, so we it was cold and we only had our t-shirts because we only wanted to go down quickly. So it was cold, we were cold, so we ran back upstairs. Okay, so we get back upstairs and we start rolling joints again, like whatever's happening outside is happening outside. Then all of a sudden we hear an almighty banging on the door downstairs, because the door downstairs is like in a hallway, but it's like it gives like an echo, like the acoustics are wonderful. So this noise was just, yeah, I thought, Jesus, what's happening here? So I went down to open the door. And for some reason, because of the harshness of the bang on the door, as I was going downstairs, I shouted up to Yanni, "Hide the drugs, it's probably the police." And then when I opened the door, I was confronted by two armed officers basically demanding to know why me and the other guy had run from the scene of a crime. So obviously I was quite shocked at the fact that the house obviously smelled like a ganj farm, and we had two armed police officers at our door. So I quickly, in the most polite of voices, informed him that we were just curious as to what was going on downstairs, and we we'd just been slightly concerned by the chill factor outside and needed to get indoors very quickly. And basically his only thing was to me that next time I hear a banging on the door, that I should answer it more quickly. So, and basically with that, they left. So yeah, that was quite a bizarre thing. But then 2 days later, Lee is waiting outside. Lee's waiting outside for his missus to pick him up. And he's got a bag of drawer on him. I've got a bag of drawer on him. I'm waiting outside, like waiting beside him just to say goodbye and what have you. And then all of a sudden, a police van pulls up. This is outside the same bookies that was robbed a couple of days previously. And about five officers, like, sort of came out, both female and male. They approached us and they basically said, "Oh, you're looking a bit suspicious and what have you." And basically this bookie was robbed a couple of days ago. So they sort of take Lee Man to one side and take me round the corner to the other to obviously talk to us individually for whatever reason they wanted to. So I'm round the corner and I can already hear Lee Man obviously getting upset, like, "Nah, what's going on here? Why you stopped me?" And they basically informed him that the bookies had got robbed and we were looking suspicious outside. Now, both me and Lee had drugs on us, but I had a old boy police officer, maybe about 50, and a sort of young girl accompanying him. Lee Man had two young, like, police officers who had just sort of been on the force. And basically, yeah, I locked out. Lee Man got the coppers who wanted to basically get something. So automatically they started searching him, like, what have you. The old cop asked me, "Do I have anything on me?" And my things were quite well hidden. I was like, they're searching Lee. So I was like, "I don't, but you can search me if you want." And I don't know why I said that, because I did have something on me. And he was like, "Oh no, that's okay." And that was it. Just started talking to me. Like, I had a metal t-shirt. I had some sort of band t-shirt. I think it was a Black Sabbath t-shirt or something like that. And the cop started talking to me about Black Sabbath. My older girl just sort of sat there. And as we're talking, I can still hear Lee Man protesting about his rights. and what have you. Anyway, they... they caught Lee Man with ganj, took it off him, gave him a caution, and then pissed off. Oh no, in fact, sorry, as we were being interviewed, I was round the side of the road where our entrance to the flat was, and I just happened to look as I'm talking to the police officer, and I see Yanni coming down from the fire escape where we live, and I'll never forget this image. As soon as Yanni sort of turned the corner of the fire escape, he saw me being interviewed by the police officer and just walked and then just did the almighty U-turn and then just went straight back up the fire escape. It was like Grandpa Simpson in The Simpsons when he goes into the brothel. It was quite an amazing sight to see, actually. And I thought, "You cowardly fucker." But yeah, after that, though, after the cops left, Lee Man was so enraged that he had to phone up his drug dealer again and go around the corner and pick up again. "They're not beating me." I was like, "Well, they have. They've got. They've made you spend another £20.
I'd like Boise to play like Jason. Basically. Yeah. But now, like, you know, it'd be different. I could probably play in a band with Jason. We'd be, like, grown up and now, you know, we'd respect each other's whatever, you know, but of course, man, and it was all like big, you know, we all thought this was real and like we're gonna make a big band and shit and like it all meant something, you know what I mean? And it did in our heads, and you know, it could have and could have, should have, would have, but yeah, then there still is time, man. Like, and I think if we ever did get back together, we'd be a hell of a lot fucking better as well, and the band would sound fucking sick. Now and again, yeah, I knock out Petrolhead now and again, or Bastard Son of Rock and Roll a lot of the time when I'm testing the metal sound on my pickups or something. I do, yeah, I have a little nostalgia trip. I was playing Chug It, You Git the other day for some reason, just seeing if I could remember how to play it. I guess it was because we got talking about this and it probably stirred up a bit of nostalgia, I guess, but yeah, no, it was, they were fun days, man. And definitely, I would like to play music again, definitely with Yanni, on even a full-on reunion, but I don't think that would happen because Tom's down in Cornwall and stuff, and I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, oh my God, once we were on stage at the end, we were just like, yeah, we're just going to jam. And we fucking jammed for fucking 8 minutes, man. It was ridiculous. God almighty, how weird.
Oh yeah, as a child, yeah, Lee Man was quite a brute. Apparently he used to sort of, his cousins would bet him how many times he could headbutt a wall. So he'd do that and win money and stuff like that, which probably gives you a sort of glimpse into what he's like now, why he's like it now. No, I mean, everyone changes once they get rid of a relationship and growing up in general, but we all liked to drink back in the day, and we all liked to drink so much that we couldn't really control what we were doing or anyone's sort of opinions about us. So yeah, there's loads of them sort of stories about getting wild and thing, but everyone has them stories.
Well, he didn't really contribute to the band, to be fair. No, I'm not dissing him, but like he was a hired gun, man, and it was like hired gun who couldn't play. Like, yeah, he was like, we just wanted him to be like the kind of calming Boise influence really of the band.
Yeah, Tom built this studio where you were half a meter away from the wall, so you could just about fit an amp in and a human being. And we all went up there to record our own shit. God knows what happened with those recordings. Maybe Yanni has them. Do our own instruments for our own. We already had our own project. We didn't even have a band properly. Yeah, so yeah, we'd go up there and record things. I don't know what happened with all them things.
We were supposed to do a lot to that place when we moved out to get it back up to fruition. And we had the best intentions. I think we did work for a couple of hours and then realised that it probably would be in our interest if we just left it and then just didn't require our deposit back, because yeah, the stuff we'd have to repair would have taken us a lot longer than half a day that we gave ourselves, and probably we would have had to pay to get stuff fixed. So we just threw our hands up in the air. I was getting calls like 2 weeks after we moved out from the landlady asking me like what's happening. Whatever. I was like, I told you, keep the deposit. I was like, we've gone, we're 2 weeks away. I was like, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? It's like, there's nothing we can do. You've got, I can't remember how much the deposit was, but it would have been enough to sort of cover pretty much what we did, maybe. No, if she hired me, it wouldn't, but, but yeah.